Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now, tomorrow night we are live only in Los Angeles on radio, but we are live on our video cast tomorrow night for all of you, all backstage pass holders, all of you listening to me right now. If you want to enjoy the show tomorrow evening, our Saturday night show, when we do a Saturday night show, you can become a backstage pass holder and watch us live on video. Just go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch us perform the show. Also, if you'd like to get a free backstage pass, we're giving one away every month. In February, we're giving one away. And so to do that, you hashtag the name Phil Hendry at our Twitter site, Phil Hendry Show. That's twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. Or like our fan page at Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. And you can like that page, and you enter automatically into a drawing for a free backstage pass, which gives you a free month of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show video. Margaret Gray is going to join us this hour. She's also going to be with us last hour because we are creating a couple of little, what we call production aids for our radio show that she's going to be a part of, talking this hour about her son, Jason J. Delmonico, who was appearing in a very pivotal movie of the week, or I believe a Lifetime film series, and to give us a little more information on this, because there was this conflict between her son, and not really a conflict, Margaret, between your son and anybody. It was a conflict between you and the mother of another student?
Well, I wouldn't even call it a conflict, Phil. It was certainly not a conflict for me. When I talked to Martha Sherry, who was the mother of Deanna Sherry, this poor girl that was diagnosed with cancer, I had asked her, and I knew that she was going to make this announcement to the class that Deanna was in the hospital and that she was going to be treated for this cancerous condition.
What type of cancer?
I think it was leukemia. I'm not sure. It was either a tumor or it was a blood disease. I have to be honest with you, Phil. At the very same week, as you just indicated, Jason J. Delmonico, my son, was in the running for a very, very important part in a historical drama that was being filmed by the Lifetime Channel. And so you can understand that my attention was drawn to my son and what it was that he was going to be challenged by.
Okay.
So I asked Martha if she would not put off the announcement of her daughter and her daughter being in the hospital. And she said to me, why? And I said, because my son this week has been enjoying the support of the class. The teachers have written a couple of pieces of dialogue for him to practice on. The other students have volunteered to help him with his scene. And there's just been a wonderful outpouring of support for Jason J. Delmonico. If she comes forward and makes this announcement about her daughter having cancer, it logically is going to take some of the attention away from Jason J. Now, I know that cancer is much more serious than my son being challenged for a part in a television show.
Yes.
But I also know that the young lady's condition, and I want to be very careful how I say this, because I'm a mother, Phil, and I understand any mother who is suffering with this with a child, believe me. But her condition is not necessarily going to end tomorrow. I would imagine, and I said this to her mother, and this caused the problem, and I said to the school at some point, when do you get a break? When are people going to quit looking for the worst? But I said to her mother, I said, you don't know how long it's going to take.
Oh, you didn't say that.
I didn't say what?
You don't know how long what's going on. Are you assuming that this child is going to die?
No, I did not say that at all, Phil. I said, and I am a mother, and I'm sensitive to these things. I said to her, Jason Jay's call is tomorrow. It was a Thursday. He has to be on set tomorrow.
Right.
Well, her daughter had just been diagnosed with this condition, leukemia, I believe it was. So she's not going to die tomorrow.
That's, to me, that is very insensitive. I'll tell you why.
No, it is not insensitive, Phil. You don't need to tell me why.
Well, if you say your daughter's not going to die tomorrow, you know...
I didn't say that, Phil. Will you please listen to me? I said, the condition that this child has is not going to be cured tomorrow.
Well, what did you say to her?
That's exactly what I said to her.
So the condition that your child has is not going to be cured tomorrow, so therefore what? Would you hold off on making this announcement?
Would you please hold off, yes, on announcing to the class and to the teacher and the teacher's assistant that Deanna has this cancerous condition. And I didn't know, I didn't remember. I was, you know, a little frazzled myself, and she said to me, no, it is something, something. I think it was lymphoma. And I said, well, excuse me, but I have other priorities. So
You know, what I'm hearing you say...
I'm not finished yet, Phil. Hold on.
All right.
I said, well, I have other priorities. I'm sorry. And she said, fine, but we are not going to hold off on the announcement. The class needs to know. The teachers need to know. Well, to make a long story short, my son had been assisted by the other students, had been assisted by the teacher, but as soon as we found out, as soon as he found out that this young lady, Deanna Sherry, had cancer, everyone in the class, suddenly their attention was turned to her. No one was really giving him much attention at all. He blew the audition. He didn't get the part. We are now day five. He hasn't come out of his room. Okay? Does this sound good?
No, it doesn't.
He is desperately depressed. And just about a half an hour ago, when I said to him, Jason, darling, do you want to come out and have some ice cream or a snack? And he told me his mother, the woman that almost died giving birth to him, to go to hell.
That's a boy that is not only despondent over not getting his part in his movie, but he has no ability to deal with, you know, bad times.
No, Phil, don't go down that old road, okay?
No, wait a minute. What are you're asking me a question here.
No, but don't go down that. Oh, he doesn't have it. Yes, he does. All right? The boy was looking forward to this audition and nailing this part. I asked this mother, would you please, in the name of everything decent, put off the announcement about your daughter's cancer until tomorrow after he auditions? She said, I most certainly will not. Got a very huffy look on her face, as if somehow what I was asking was not reasonable. And my son didn't get the part, and he just told me to go to hell.
Yeah, that's a rude boy that needs to be taught some manners.
So, in other words, you don't get it, do you? Phil, I am...
I think I do get it.
I'm talking about two mothers... I'm not talking about the children. I'm talking about two mothers trying to work something out. And in the end, there was only one of me. I was all alone. I was alone.
Well, Margaret, you're saying you were alone in your effort to get this woman not to announce her daughter's cancer until the next day so your son wouldn't blow an audition and he'd have all the support of the class.
I am alone in saying that my son, when he went into audition, they'd announced that Deanna had cancer. No one gave him any help. In other words, he's an actor, Phil. He needs that attention. All of a sudden, the attention is off of him. He goes in, lurches around. There's a term called going up. It means forgetting your lines. He's lurching around. He went up about five times. He looks like a fool. He sounds like an imbecile. He blew the part. Now there he is in his room, and he tells his own mother to go straight to hell. And I asked him if he wanted ice cream. This is what I mean, and this is when you talk about women and you talk about parenting, I think you and a lot of people have a long way to go.
Margaret, I think what you've told me here is a story of a boy that was used to getting a lot of attention.
Would you please not reinterpret it back to me?
Well, you know what? I have an opinion here, okay?
I understand that, but you don't interpret it back to me as if this is the law.
Well, I'm going to tell you what my opinion is, and I think that he is a young man who was told that he had, you know, he had a lot of support and he had a lot of attention paid to him by his classmates and by his teachers. Along came a young lady, a classmate of his, who has cancer. And now the class is focused on her, not on him. And it sounds to me like a young man who's a little spoiled.
No, you're absolutely wrong.
If I'm wrong, show me where.
First of all, you don't get what it is to be a performer in that circumstance. Phil, I know you've worked in television, but not anywhere near as much as my son. He goes in for these auditions. The pressure is intense. You're looking for people to support you. You're looking for people to be there and to give you the thumbs up. The more, the merrier. He had the whole class behind him. And this woman, this mother, this Martha Sherry, and I'd like to announce my daughter has cancer. And
did she say it like that?
Well, yes, she did.
She said it like that. I want to announce my daughter has cancer.
Yes, she... Phil, that's what it sounded like to me.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm sure it did, Margaret. I mean, this sounds like a very, very biased recounting.
You're extremely hostile to what I'm saying, and you're not listening with an open mind.
No, I am. I'm not hostile. I'm having to break. I'm having to get out of this this segment and commercial break, but I'm hearing you coloring some of the facts. What's more important, ladies and gentlemen, a young man's audition, or a mother wanting to make it known to her classmates that her daughter has cancer? Well, this is the battle that was going on there at Margaret Gray's school. Who we're very happy to have her on the air. We're going to have Margaret on next hour with a couple of production ideas. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Margaret Gray. We do thank Margaret for being with us. You're at a school function. It's funny, last hour we had Don Mixa, who was at a book fair. This is a school function that you're at right now, right?
No, it is, Phil. This is for the Amy Mann Middle School, where our children go to school. And this is a fundraiser for this family whose daughter, this young girl, Deanna, has the condition, the cancerous condition. And you can see the extent they're going to for this child. And my son is sitting in his bedroom right now, thoroughly depressed, when they could have given him a little bit of support.
You know that this makes you sound a little selfish, right?
I'm aware that to unenlightened people, I may sound selfish. To people that don't understand the entertainment business, I may sound selfish.
But just the idea that there's a girl with cancer, a boy has an audition, and you choose the boy.
I said, would you hold off making your big announcement about your daughter having cancer at least long enough to let my son go in and have a fighting chance to get this part? The answer, no.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. What is more important? I think I know the answer to this, Margaret. You don't need to comment. My opinion, obviously, the mother whose daughter has cancer wants to make this announcement. This is more important. I think it's a better lesson. I don't think your son needs to have the adulation of the class.
You don't understand. You're not a mother.
Well,
you're not a mother. You haven't given birth to a child. You didn't almost die giving birth to a child. I did. And there's not a lot of women I know, not even women, who understand that.
So in other words, that
Phil, you know, talking to you as a man, you don't...
Well, I'm going to continue to ask you questions. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here is Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, sir,
I
good.
I got to tell you.
Hello.
I am appalled by her statement. I am a father of two children, and I lost a child to cancer. And
how many children are left?
How many children are left?
I have two children, and I lost one to cancer. Okay, interrupt me again, please.
You have one.
I am appalled by your statement because, you know, first of all, anybody that puts their kids in pageants or tries to get them into show business, this child is obviously not of an age to where this is probably not his choice. You probably have been pushing them for years, and to put something like that...
You have to push them. You've got to push them.
Listen to me. Don't interrupt me again. To put that before another child's disease that may very well take them away from their families, you say you're a mother that you almost died losing your child?
I almost died giving birth to that boy. That's right.
That's fine. That's fine. That happens a lot in life. In fact, like I've said before, I have lost
not
a child,
quite.
And you are
not
appalling.
Quite.
You are appalling.
You didn't give birth to the child that you lost.
It doesn't matter. It was my child that I lost. And for you to sit there and say that your son's audition was more important?
No, I said it could wait a day. The announcement about the girl's cancer.
That will probably more than likely end her life is appalling. You disgust me. You should not even be on the radio discussing this.
How dare you talk to a woman who almost died giving birth to her son?
Well, you know what? You need to get over that because
why don't you get over some things, too?
This girl will probably die because of the leukemia. You don't even know what disease she has. And you're on here saying that your son's audition is more important than her disease.
I forgot what disease it was. Well, you can call me names. It doesn't take much of a man to call a woman names, okay? Another two.
Margaret, hold on. Let me jump in here. Hold on. Let me just say something here, Eric. You know, Margaret, you are not showing due respect to this man when you say to him, how many are left? It is a part of good manners when a man says he's lost a child to say, I'm sorry, and Jeff, let me say, I'm sorry to hear that.
Are you actually telling me what good manners are?
I'm telling you now I am, yes. To say at least to this man, I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your child. And then but you said, how many are left?
I was confused. He said he has two children, he lost one. So how many is that?
I guess he's got one left.
I don't know how many's left. I have two sons.
In terms of cancer. Well, in terms of a tax write-off.
What?
A tax write-off? Are you going to talk to me about losing a child, and now you're going to tell me in terms of a tax write-off?
You said to me, what difference does it make?
You are insane, lady.
Do you know any children actors? No, you don't. Do you know?
Nobody, that's not the point. Are you understanding the difference that people are saying here? Okay?
Phil, if you keep butting in, Phil, I swear to God.
You swear to God what?
Hey, Phil, I'm
I told you
right
what
now,
I did.
I'm going to say things that shouldn't be on the radio. She is insane.
Jeff, I want you to know something. I had...
With her because it's
I don't let...
And move on to something more important.
I don't let men
Phil.
Talk to me like this. The last man that did,
you are
I defecated
insane,
on his sofa. I'm insane.
You are
I think you're
insane.
I think you're insane for saying that I had no right to bring up the tax ramifications.
It was not an appropriate time to bring that up.
When you said, what difference did it make? How many?
What?
You said it didn't make any difference how many kids were left.
You do that. Oh, my God.
Good
Phil,
God.
I'm off
Good
here
God.
I say something. You need to end this conversation with her.
I'm telling you,
goodbye.
I defecated on a man's.
I heard what you. Thank you very much, sir. I heard already what you did. And you know that some people think that's insane.
Phil, I am speaking out on something that I need. Hello?
Put her on hold, will you? We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray here. on her son, Jason J. Delmonico, losing an audition to, well, a girl who had cancer. Apparently, that took the attention of the class. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
Say it again.
87. Shut up.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
I saw that. Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray is at the Amy Mann Middle School. They're having a fundraiser tonight for Deanna Sherry. She's the daughter of Martha Sherry. She has a condition, a cancer, and they're raising money for the family. I'm going to have to assume that means there's no health insurance.
Well, that's something else. Thank you very much, Republican Party. And I do suspect that that's a lot of the people that we're hearing from tonight, Phil.
I don't think there's any politics involved here, Margaret. I think there's a sense of a disagreement, okay?
Well, look, there was an article today in the Huffington Post about a young lady in Southern California, no relation to the young lady that I'm talking about. Poor little girl, she herself with cancer, that's what reminded me of what happened to Jason J. Delmonico. And I thought, and I guess, you know, we all look at these things differently. I thought, my God, they're everywhere.
Who's everywhere?
Well, the children that have these conditions that suddenly pop up when your son is trying to nail an audition and possibly have one of the very first dramatic roles he's ever had in a made-for-TV movie, and all of a sudden we've got these children with their
cancer.
I didn't say that, Phil, did I?
No, but you know what? Maybe it sounds to me like you're reluctant to say it, and that's why it didn't come out. Nonetheless, you see it, Margaret, as a foil or as an obstacle for your son, who didn't get this part because this girl's mother announced that she had cancer and the other kids in the class turned their attention away from your son.
And the way you put it, Phil, it sounds very dry. There's not really a very dramatic intonation. He's in his bedroom right now, and he has a knife that his father gave him. It's one of these knives that you use for throwing at trees. And he's just throwing it on the floor in front of him. When I went in and I asked him if he wanted Moose Tracks ice cream, which is his favorite, he told me to go straight to the devil. That's not a happy child.
And that is a disturbed child. That's a child throwing a knife at the floor. I'd get that knife away from him.
Oh, my God, Phil, would you stop the dramatics?
Well, you are involved in a very dramatic rendering here, it sounds to me, with the girl with cancer and, no, don't make an announcement, my son has an audition. And there's no sensitivity. That's the part that's bothering me and bothering a lot of callers.
I told you and I'll tell you again. And that man discounted it. When Jason J. Delmonico was born, they said they could hear me bellowing like an animal out in the parking lot. Okay? I didn't want to have to bring that.
Well, Margaret, I don't want to comment on that.
No, naturally you don't want to comment on it.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line, we have Nancy on the Phil Henry Show. Nancy, go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray.
Hi. Hello. There. I've been listening. Hi. I've been listening to your dialogue back and forth, and I find it interesting because my background is in psychology, and I also was a middle
school. Oh, here
school.
We go.
No, now listen to me. I'm also...
Here we go. Been,
would you no, allow the lady to finish?
I listen to you very politely, and please listen to me politely
as
well.
But I heard you laughing. When you came on the line, you were laughing. You were all, hi. Like you were laughing.
Whatever I was doing, I'm not laughing now, and I'm saying something that will benefit you and your son. And maybe you should listen instead of talk and defend and fight off other people's comments. Here's what I see. I've been a middle school teacher, and I've been a high school teacher. And I have a psychology background. And what I see here is that a mother who loves her son very much and went through an awful lot to have this son. But I also see a son and a mother that may not be facing the reality of your son's talents. In other words, I've also been an actress, by the way. In other words, that when somebody tries out for a part, they either have the talent that carries them through or they don't. It's not a matter of how many other people in the audience think they have talent. It's a matter whether your son feels and is in reality about whether he has the talent. And what I'm seeing
here... Don't you think I know all of this? Don't you think we know this? Jason Jay has he's gotten other professional jobs. So this is not his first job.
Oh, that's
he's done three. He did three Burger King commercials.
Wonderful, but my point is that if he is that well talented, whether or not somebody makes an announcement about their daughter having cancer should not affect his performance level. If he is truly a talented actor, and to
he is a very talented
reality,
actor, but he's a young boy. He's a young boy, and he had the adulation. And his classmates, and all of a sudden, guess what happened? All of a sudden his classmates go, oh, we're not interested in you. Now we're interested in this girl with cancer because you know children. They don't care whether you live or die.
Oh, God.
It shouldn't matter because, you know, you could have 9/11 pop up in the world. You can have all kinds of other issues pop up in the world besides this girl having cancer. And if your son can't focus enough on what he needs to do to be a winner, then that's what he should focus on, is building up his skills in that area, not blaming some other woman and her poor child for your son's failure.
The reason why I'm having a little impatience is because you're not only a psychologist, you're an actress. You seem to have everything covered. Have you ever constructed suspension bridges? Do you know how to mass an attack on a fortified position? I mean...
Well, don't be sarcastic. The lady has experience in a couple of areas.
I'm getting at something with you.
You mean you haven't gotten there yet?
Your Achilles heel, darling, and you need to look at it. You need to look at it you need to look at it for your son. Because
my son is a great actor, and that woman knew what she was stealing from him that day.
Your son should be able to carry through no matter what the chatter in the background is, because that's life.
What's wrong with that? That sounds like very, very solid advice. Nancy, thank you very much. I mean, that sounds like very good advice.
How many calls dropped while that woman was going blah, 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 blah?
Never mind about how many calls dropped. Didn't you hear what she said?
That was the most, oh, God. I can't even imagine being one of your listeners and living through that. I had to listen to it as the recipient of it. But to be the listener on a radio show to that woman going, da 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 da.
You all done? Because what that lady was saying made a lot of sense. Why isn't your son stronger? And
my son is very strong. And I... For you to even intimate anything different... I find that very strange, given what I've meant to your radio show, given what Jason J. Delmonico has been to you. He's admired you, Phil. He's listened to your program. He thinks you're really hot stuff. Well, guess what? Now he's going to know the truth. That Phil Hendry is out there sucking up to every woman whose kid's got cancer. What the hell with
it? Hey, Ms. Gray, you know, none of that's going to work. None of those histrionics are going to work with me, so... Give it a rest. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Paul on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi. I love the show, by the way, but I just want to say I'm 20 years old. It's a Friday night, like 2 in the morning, where I'm at in Massachusetts. I've never felt more compelled to call the radio and let you know that this is the most disgusting excuse for a human being that I've ever, like...
How old are you? How old are you?
Like, I am so glad I'm 20 years old and I have more morals than you.
20 years old and you're talking.
I am so glad.
You say I'm disgusting.
I am so glad that he hates you. Like, you better go take care of that knife. That's it.
You know what? I hate you.
Well.
That, you know what that is? That's a kid. I bet you that kid walked into a room with producers and I bet you he blew.
I heard that and that was crude.
I said blew the part. I didn't say blow the what you thought.
No, I heard what you said. 877-876-PHIL. That man is basically saying that what you're saying about that little girl having cancer being something that needs to go on the back burner while Jason J. Delmonico gets his audition done.
I didn't say the girl should die. I didn't say the girl should wait to have her cancer treatment. I said, could you wait before all of the hearts and flowers come out? Can you wait before we get Katie Couric down there to do the interview? Can you wait 5 lousy minutes, 5 lousy seconds, so that Jason J. can walk into an audition, give it his best? What are you doing? You see, now you want ice cream. He's finally come out of his room. And don't tell me to go to hell. I'll get your father.
If that boy is telling you to go to hell, you want to get off the line right now. And deal with that.
I'll deal with it. Don't worry. I have to be on the air. I have to be on the radio right now. He just told me to go to hell again. He told me to go to the devil and go to hell.
Well, get off the phone and talk to him.
I will in a moment.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Hello, Phil. How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't understand what, how could this woman, I don't even get it. How can you even pretend to
if you don't get it, why don't you sit back and listen and try to understand?
You know what, oh my God, really?
Well, you said you don't get it. Yeah, you should sit back and listen and then you'll understand. Well, then you should sit back and listen and understand. Here it is. I'll explain it to you. My son is a
really?
Very talented actor. My son's
really?
A very talented actor, and this girl has cancer. Now, is she going to die tomorrow? No.
Yeah.
Is she going to die the next day? No.
You know,
so
I
they
don't
can
care.
Hold off on their
care.
Little announcement.
I don't care. I don't care if she has cancer.
Well, no wonder you're
dying. I'm glad she has cancer.
You don't listen.
No, I'm glad she has cancer.
Okay.
I wish you had cancer.
I wish you had cancer.
Yeah, well, you know what? But because
well, this is intelligent.
Are...
oh, you know what? You know what? I
what?
Bet you've
no,
got a wife that henpecks you to death. You are easy. You're too easy. Now, here's what you do, Clem, or whatever your name is.
The man's name is... Okay, so are we going to go through an insult?
Mike. No.
His name is Mike.
No, you said his name was Clem.
No, I didn't. I said his name is Mike.
Well, it's Clem to me. Now, listen, Clem.
No, his name is Mike.
I said it's Clem.
It's Mike.
Well, I say it's Clem.
You know what I think is really funny?
Mike.
Yes.
Your name for the purposes of our conversation is Clem.
His name is Mike.
Is it? No, that's okay. Call me Clem. Because you know what's
Clean
really
or Clint? I called you Clean.
You know what? I don't care what you say. What's really funny is...
We all know that, and you listen every night, stupid. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to, we got Clay over here. Clay, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just think everybody's focusing on the wrong thing here. The problem doesn't start with the child. It starts with the mother, because she's convinced this child he can never fail at anything. And he's
the girl with
the most
cancer?
Important thing in the world. And everyone should bow down to him. And she's
what about
not
the girl that has cancer?
This child to deal with the rest of his life. She's just
what
teaching
the...
him to blame everybody for her failure and for his failure. Thank
what
you,
about
sir.
The girl who has cancer? What is her mother doing? Why did you criticize her?
Because we've got you on the air right now.
What a chip. Clem?
His name is Clay. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877... Boy, it got quiet there at the carnival all of a sudden, didn't it? Maybe Phil has been yelling a little too loud there at Margaret. Maybe her son finally got the message, because I understand he was out getting his Moose Tracks ice cream, or whatever his story is. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our news and comment hour, news and information hour coming up next hour. Margaret Gray, I think, is going to join us, I hope, Margaret.
Phil, I'm very happy to, but I have to tell you the personal insults, the comments that have been made.
You don't see at all where some of them have been at least provoked by you when you say, when the man says, I lost a child to cancer, and you say, how many have you got left? And
I thought it was a logical question, Phil. And
I told, you know, like, I'm sorry that you lost your child.
Well, Phil, I'm trying in the context of a radio interview. And I'll tell you something else. When he said, what has that got to do with anything? And I said to him, tax ramifications. My God, you thought I would have said to him, here is a nice heaping helpful of cow dung. Have a nice breakfast. Well, I didn't. I'm looking at a commercial right now for cerebral palsy. It shows a child in a leg brace. All right, I'll send money. Do you feel better? Meanwhile, my son sits eating his Moose Tracks and looking like the biggest loser.
Good, Mom.
Well, you do. You look like such a loser.
You talking to your son right now?
Yes, I am. And by the way, I'll talk to my son my way.
Well, I just think sitting there telling him he's a loser after spending an entire hour saying how things were unfair to him is rather bizarre. Here is Dawn on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Dawn.
Okay. Margaret, I really, am very disgusted with you. You make me sick. Simply
what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? You're sitting up here talking about your son being a very good actor as opposed to a child who has cancer. I am a two-time breast cancer survivor, and it pisses me off, excuse my language, that someone like you is trying to sit up here and say, well, let's wait 5 minutes, let's wait 5 days. Have you ever had cancer? Have you ever
I almost
cancer?
Died giving birth to my son. I bellowed like a cow.
That is not the question. The question is, have you ever had cancer? Do you know that 5 minutes, 1 day, 2 days, 1 week that you're asking all these people to put aside for your son? If your son is that good of an actor, do you not realize that him not going and having this audition, another one is going to pop up for him? And guess what? He may get that.
My son just came out of his room and he said, hey, Mom, the lady that's on the radio right now, give her this. And he flipped you the bone.
You want her to wait.
He flipped you off.
Wait a minute. Your son flipped off this lady?
Yes. He flipped you off, lady.
Who did?
My son.
He came out of his room and flipped this lady off.
Yes. He said, Mom, to that lady on the phone right now, and he stuck his finger out.
Well then why don't you go deal with...
What does that say about your son? He sits up there and calls you... You call him a loser. He tells you to go to hell to go see the devil. What does that say about your son? I mean, really,
he's reacting reasonably to you, screeching like a banshee.
Okay,
let's watch.
He's reacting to you. How is he reacting to you? He is telling you, Mom, go to hell. This girl needs treatment, and you're worried about me with an audition? Guess what? This may not be the one for me, Mom. This may be God telling me, you know what? Maybe you need to pass on this one. Maybe we need to sit back and say, you know what,
God? Oh, I'm sure that's what God's saying. Oh, I'm sure that's how God sounds. Yeah, right.
Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?
A Christian? Our last name is Gray.
No, not your last name.
What an idiot.
You asked me if I was a... The family name is Gray, not Christian.
My last name is Davis. My last name is Davis.
Well, some people's last name is Christian. You know that.
Christian, more power to you. Praise God. But you obviously do not have a heart.
Look at this. Look at this right here.
You obviously do not believe in.
Can I say,
okay,
Jason J. You look like a loser, Jason J., sitting there with the ice cream. Go into your room.
Margaret, pay attention to the conversation.
I apologize, but my son was sitting there like a loser. Yes?
Why do you belittle your son? No,
he looks like he looks about like 100 yards of loser.
How old is your son?
14.
You know what?
No, there's no more moose tracks. No.
Do you believe in God? Do you believe?
You know, that reminds me of, what did the fish say to the other fish? Do you believe in cod? I thought that was a good joke. And I told that at a church meeting.
Well,
my
you know
God,
what?
The people didn't laugh at all.
No one is asking you that question.
Okay, well, you know what? If that's what you want to do in church, that's fine. You know, if you feel that...
Do I believe in cod?
No, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I can't hear her.
Turn the music down a little bit. What did you say, ma'am?
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And don't say you don't hear
me. Are you asking Phil or are you asking me?
She's asking you, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Phil, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, Margaret?
Phil, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Well, I'm not it's not...
I just asked
you. You're the one that she's...
No. Well, Phil, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Turn that off, bud. We're not. It's time for Ted.
Oh, sorry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. A lot of things happening with this National Football League season. You are never far away from a game when you're in our prime rib room. Watch the NFL. Please get yourself a drink. Ted. And come on in for our prime rib, of course, that's Sunday. And we're very happy to be on the show tonight, Bill.
Thank you, Ted, for being with us. And it's a Ted Bell segment here, folks, brought to you by Ted Bell. And welcome to our program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're kicking things off tonight with you, Ted, because it is your sponsored segment. We also have some pretty interesting news made... public today or yesterday, I think it was yesterday, horses could soon be butchered in the U.S. for human consumption after Congress quietly lifted a 5-year-old ban on funding horse meat inspections, and activists say slaughterhouses could be up and running in as little as a month.
Right there, Phil, the mentioning of activists, I think it's very unfortunate because for many people who are in the food business, food delivery business, in the grocery business, in the provisioning business, it's an option that you have, and you are able to open up a little bit more to the consumer, different options, especially at times when prices may be a little steep. So when you mention activists, a red flag went up.
And the red flag is what? Are they animal rights activists?
Well, they're animal rights activists, but you know, again, what I find hypocritical is that we serve meat from steer, we serve meat from a bovine animal, and I haven't had any activists picketing my restaurant. We're a steakhouse. I think people understand that. Now that I'm able to offer an option, and in some cases, it's an option that you're going to offer to people that'll be right there on the menu. In other instances, it is simply an option that they are going to be afforded. And then you have activists telling you you can't do it. I tell you, you can't roll back. The Congress has lifted the ban. I don't know what their premise is going to be, the activists, on reinstating the ban.
Is there some thought that horses are like dogs and cats, that they are a domesticated creature that gives us, that they're more valuable to us as companions, as pets, as, I don't know, you know, that there's somehow...
Well, you know, I'm as sentimental as the next guy, but if people are looking to increase their protein intake and they are looking to increase the quality, at least nutritionally, of their meals, and I have the ability to provide this for my customers...
All right, and I want to get into talking to you about this. You have a steakhouse that is in Beverly Hills, California, and you're going to put horse meat on the menu?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that I was going to put it on the menu. What I'm telling you is that there is an option for me as a restaurateur to give to my customers as high a quality tasting product, and at the same time, I can save on the overhead. I can save on the wholesale end, so that, you know, we're not spending as much money.
So, well, okay, I'll get to that question in a moment. Sounds to me like you're going to sell horse meat.
No, that's not what I'm not going to have on the menu. We sell horse meat. What I'm saying is, and please try that, I'm sure that there are a lot of consumers that understand that if they can have a product that is as quality tasting, shall we say, as steak, and they know that it is not costing me as much, that I think they're going to want to at least support my business to the extent that they will like the idea that I've got that. I'm not going to put it on the menu.
Well, what are you going to have on the menu if you have horse meat and you're selling it as a steak? What are you going to put on the menu?
Well, you can put on the menu that it is a steak. You can put on the menu it's a delicious steak. It's a 12-ounce steak. You can call it a Ted's, you can give it a charbroiled, or you can give it a fillet or something. You don't have to say what it is, and that's really not why I came on the program tonight. The reason why I came on the program tonight was to talk to you about these activists, so-called animal rights activists. I don't see them as animal rights activists at all. I think that these are people that probably own horses themselves and probably ride those horses and probably run those horses and probably use those horses in their amusement time almost to death as the animal is dragging itself back to a stable laden down with a saddle and God knows what else. And those people call themselves animal rights activists? I don't think so.
Well, you're talking about people that ride horses for a hobby.
Yes. These individuals, you've seen them where they have the... they got a stable or what have you, and they go out and they ride the horse, and then and some of these individuals should not be on the back of an animal. They are these animals are fragile creatures. I mean, they're strong animals, but you're not going to put a human being on the back of an animal, a human being that has no business sitting on a horse any more than they, you know, forgive me for trying to be funny, but any more than they have business wearing pants, you know.
You're talking about people that are overweight. I understand what you're saying, and that there may be some abuse of horses in that respect. But we're talking here specifically about the serving of horse meat. Congress has lifted this ban, and there is now there is conversation at the USDA saying that the USDA is going to allow the butchering of horses for human consumption. So, again, you're going to sell horse meat.
What you do is you afford your customers the option of having a quality steak. You're not going to say, oh, we've got horse meat steak. That is not a commercially viable choice, in my opinion. But what you can say is you have a delicious steak. You can make it a part of the menu, and you provide it. And again, it costs me less from my wholesaler, so that when I retail it to my customer, I am saving that much more money.
Now, the money that the customer is saving on this steak, they're going to see that the price is lower.
Well, it's a difficult business. I didn't necessarily say, and nor do I think it's wise of me to lower the price. Because if I do that, then the customer thinks that he's not getting a high-quality cut of meat. So I'm going to keep my prices the same. All right.
So what you're saying, you're going to keep your prices the same, but you are
I'm going to be saving money, yeah. But I also understand that, in my opinion, I think my customers are going to appreciate the fact that we do serve horse meat, or we serve this kind of a cuisine, and that they can avail themselves of that.
All right, if you're, can I interrupt you, Ted, for a moment here?
Go ahead.
If you are not identifying on the menu that you're selling horse meat, then how does your customer know?
I think what we do is we basically come on programs like yours, Phil. You know, I'm going to go on the Ken and Bob. What is it? Ken and John show
on a John and Ken.
John and Ken, and go on some of these programs, and we go on some of the LA talk shows and so forth, and nationally too, and let them know that we're very excited about the possibility that we can afford our customers the choice of a quality steak. It's good meat, Phil. It's good tasting. I think there's been a terrible slander against horse. You know, every time we say horse meat, you think of cat food or dog food.
Well, that's what I think of, and because of that, I would never want to eat, you know.
Well, I'm advertising on your program, and because I'm advertising on your program, and I advertise on other programs, I would hope that the hosts who are on those shows are going to support Tens of Beverly Hills, and I would like you to come in at your choosing, Phil, and sit down and have lunch and have one of our Ted specials or what have you.
So that would be a horse meat steak.
Again, we're not calling it that. It's a Ted lunch special. It's a delicious 12-ounce steak. And that's all we have to call it. I don't have to say, come in and get a horse meat steak. What I'm telling you is, I'm saving money because it's not as expensive.
Okay.
But what?
Well, all right. I mean, I understand, but you're not passing that savings on to the consumer.
I can't. I cannot lower the price of the steaks because people will think that the quality suffers. And so...
So you need to maintain the price of that steak, but you're going to be selling a Ted special steak or whatever you wind up calling it.
We do know we're going to have 8-ounce and 12-ounce. The largest will be a 12-ounce.
But this will essentially be horse steak.
You know, I don't want to call it that.
But isn't that what it is?
I don't want to call it that. I don't want to call it that. I know what you're saying, and I affirm the statements you're making, but I don't want to say that.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying, though. That's what it is.
Well, I'll just repeat what I said.
All right. Ted Bell with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. He is serving or will be serving or will be purchasing because the USDA has lifted a 5-year ban on funding horse meat inspections, and activists say slaughterhouses could be up and running in as little as a month. There could be horse meat consumption among many Americans, and Ted Bell is one of many restaurants, huh, Ted?
Well, there's a few back east. I know a great many. I know a chain restaurant that is going to be using some of these suppliers.
And the reason is that a horse meat steak is a delicious steak.
No question, Phil. And it's low in fat. It's delicious. The only problem that we would have, again, would be this some kind of a political statement on the part of some of these activists that don't want you to slaughter horses. But I don't understand. These are the same people. These horse meat inspectors, or excuse me, not activists. These horse meat, what do you call them? The activist opponents of horse meat are people that own horses and ride horses, and in many cases ride them to death. And I think that needs to be investigated. I think we need to investigate who these individuals are that own horses for their own pleasure and amusement, ride them until they are almost dead, until the hearts in the chests of these great proud animals almost explode, and then leave them standing all afternoon with saddles on them while, excuse me for saying this, the fat slob that was riding this animal goes inside for a Diet Coke.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think about horse meat for human consumption? Do you think that Mr. Bell should have to identify the horse meat that's on his menu? Do you think he should pass the savings along to you on this horse meat? And for those of you who are animal rights or horse rights activists, do you own horses that you ride? I think you're being a little rough there, Ted.
No, I'm not. Believe me, I know some of these people.
All right, hold the line here. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, you come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills again, the National Football League. We're getting into those really interesting weeks ahead of the playoffs, and we've got all the games on. We got our DirecTV. We paid the bill. Come on in and have yourself a drink and have our slow roasted prime rib, Phil.
All Sunday, right?
All day Sunday we have the slow roasted prime rib, and I'm gonna tell you right now, it is absolutely delicious. And
it's not made out of horse.
All right. I mean, here's the thing. I would rather that you not make those jokes, and I'll tell you why.
I apologize.
No, it's all right, but I'll tell you why. We're going to take advantage of this. We're going to deliver to our customers what we think is a high-quality steak. Is it as good as a regular steer or bovine product? Probably not. It's horse. But it's not costing me as much. And that, and I want my customers to know that so that they can know that I'm not paying as much for the product. I mean, we're in the middle of a serious downturn. So if you're going to make jokes about the prime rib is beef. It's not a horse.
And no, I understand that. I just, you're right, it was a joke, and I apologize.
Because you're not going to, I don't want people not coming in because they think, oh, the prime rib, it's prime rib. That means it's off of the beef. If we are serving some kind of a horse stew or, I'm not going to come on a radio and say, come in and get a horse steak. I don't think it's good business.
But you are serving them.
Again, I don't want to say that we're serving horse. I'm simply...
But, all right, you know...
You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand that, but you're all right. 877-876-PHIL.
I'm what?
Well, I think it's an unspoken fact that that's what you're doing.
I don't want to go there. You know what I'm talking about, I know what you're talking about, and the audience knows what you're talking about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call, and we've got people hanging on. I want to talk to you, Ted, and we'll see what we can do about accommodating everybody. We have Sarah with us here. Sarah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm very appalled at what I'm listening to. This gentleman who's on the line, he owns a restaurant?
Yes, ma'am. I own a steakhouse in Beverly Hills, California. It's called Ted's of Beverly Hills. And the steak, we've been there since 1975.
Oh, okay. I would be appalled if I went anywhere and was not informed of what I was eating. I don't care if it's veal or if it's beef or whatever. Every animal that we eat has a name, and I guess I would surely expect that that should be on menu, whether you call it horse or they come up with some fancy name. It needs to be identified.
All right, let me ask the lady a question. When you order a steak at a restaurant, and you say, oh, look at this, a steak. I want to have a steak. You order the steak. Correct?
Yes.
All right. At no time do you ever ask the waiter, by the way, is this made out of cow? You have an expectation that you want a delicious product, something that is prepared properly, that tastes like a steak.
Yeah, but...
Well, hold on, Phil, and let me explain to the lady. And so when I deliver that steak to your table and you have an enjoyable evening with your husband or whoever you're with and you have a glass of wine and you just
tell me.
You want me to come out at the end of that meal? You want me to come out at the end of that meal and say, by the way, you just ate horse. Are you going to keep it down? Is it going to come out? You see what I'm saying?
It would probably come out. I guess
I don't know what you're laughing at.
I have some experience in the restaurant field, and I don't know what your menu looks like, but ours said when it was 100% beef.
Absolutely.
That needs to be identified.
Or let me ask you this. Did it say 100% beef, or did it say 100% choice steak? What did it say?
Well, now we're getting into an area where there's a little bit of, I don't want to call it fraud.
But, whoa, watch that word. We don't defraud anybody, okay?
If the understanding is...
We don't tell anybody anything. All I'm trying to do here, and I'm sure that Stacy, you're in the restaurant business, Sarah, you understand. I'm trying to do business, and you and Mr. Henry want me to come out and say, come on into Ted's and get a horse steak. It's not going to work.
That's not going to work. But then it doesn't make
exactly
a lot of sense what you're saying. Either you don't want to say the wrong thing for fear of losing customers, but you want your customers to be very proud of you for saving money in these bad economic times, even though you pass any of that on to them. They're going to be...
Well, no, wait a minute. Now, that's an interesting point. You're saying to me that if I did pass the savings on to them, they wouldn't care if they were eating cat. That's basically what you're saying.
No, she's not saying that at all.
Yes, you are. In a manner of speaking, you are, because you're saying, well, at least you can pass the savings on. That way, if they're eating dog food, if they're eating cat, they don't care.
No, she didn't say that at all.
I said, I think it's absolutely strange to listen to you talking about how you think that your customers are going to be so happy that you're saving money. They're not, and they might end up eating something that they don't know what they're eating, but they should be happy because you're saving a dime.
Well, I think you're twisting it a little bit. I think you're spinning it away. Are you an animal rights activist? I have to ask you that because you're spinning it in a way that makes it sound like I'm serving cat. And
No. I'm listening.
I think what you're saying is and you're not even going to pass the savings on to your customers. The least you could do would be to do that, right? If I did that, then I could say...
I guess from the explanation you're giving, that would make sense to me for you, at least for you to say,
all right,
this is why I'm doing it.
Let's take a break. Sarah, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here with Ted Bell.
Yeah, stir-fried Ted.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted to Beverly Hills, we are taking advantage of the United States Congress lifting the ban on horse meat inspection. We are very serious about our product at Ted's of Beverly Hills. But horse meat is available for human consumption.
And Ted Bell joining us, and what you're saying is that horse meat is not only available for human consumption, it's delicious.
It is absolutely delicious. It is, as I said, Phil, the horse is like the bovine animal, and by that I mean like the steer, the cow, is a herbivore, which means it is not a meat eater. By the way, meat-eating animals are not necessarily bad-tasting or anything. Some of this nonsense you've heard. The reason why we do not raise meat-eating animals for our own food is because it costs more to feed an animal like that. Obviously, an animal that is consuming meat is going to require a protein source that is going to be a lot more expensive for the individual who is either involved in that agribusiness or involved in that kind of ranching. So we are, the human race has raised vegetation-eating animals, if you will. Now, the horse meat that I'm talking about is high-quality horse. By that, I mean you're talking about animals that are, at one time, they might have been thoroughbred horses who raced, for instance, in thoroughbred racing, which means they are a very healthy animal. There's very little fat.
You're telling me that the horse meat that you're dealing in for human consumption, these used to be racehorses?
In some instances, yeah. Not in all instances, in some. A lot of them are going to be eventually farmed. But yes, in some instances, because if you're looking at this objectively, Phil, which I hope you are and I hope your listeners are, thoroughbred horses are low in fat, healthy animals. And obviously there's a lot of them that are made available every year by virtue of the fact that they have not lived up to their expectation as racehorses, but they can still use serve a useful purpose. So that's all I want to say about that, because I don't want to get too far into the discussion of that. People tend to get a little, I don't know.
Well, people are going to get really sentimental about horses. People are extremely sentimental about horses to begin with, because they're like a pet. But I had no idea that you're involved in the selling of thoroughbred horses as meat.
I didn't say I'm involved in the sell. It sounds as if forgive me, but you make it sound like I'm involved in white slaving. And
no, I'm not. No, Ted.
Well, like when you said you're involved in, it sounds as if I'm selling children, and I resent that, Bill.
No, I did not say that, Ted. I did not say that.
Well, it sounds as if you've got me in Bangkok selling children. I said that I am not selling. I don't want to discuss what I'm selling.
All right, I apologize, but anybody that is selling horse meat would be selling, or would be involved in selling, thoroughbred.
No, again, you're misspeaking. Again, you're misspeaking. Yet again, when you say it sounds like you're involved in, you are making it sound like I am involved in the trafficking of infants for sex. And
no, I am most certainly not, Mr. Bell, and I wish you wouldn't engage in that kind of overstatement. I am not saying that at all.
Well, that is how I'm hearing it. And there's an awful lot of people that are very sensitive about this. And
well, I can understand them being sensitive, but I have not said anything even remotely close to what you just claim I did. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jamie on the line, I believe. Jamie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Jamie, are you there? She gone?
All right. Hello?
Let's
Hello?
Who's this? This is not Jamie. All right. Hold on, brother. Hold on for a minute, goofball. Here is Bob. Bob, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. How you doing there, Ted? I just have a comment.
Very good. Thank you.
I just have a comment on...
I can't hear this caller. Turn him up, will you? Go ahead, sir,
okay.
Bob.
Okay. Ted, I would just want to comment... you have a good restaurant, and you have.
And hear the caller. Go on.
I was saying, you have a good restaurant. Can you hear me, Ted?
I can hear you. Yeah, but Mr. Henry was having a hard time hearing you, but I can hear you.
I was having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm in Pennsylvania. What I'm saying is, if you have a good restaurant and a good quality menu. Don't worry about selling horse. You sell your steaks. You don't need to advertise your selling horse. When they come in, offer it to them as an alternative. Maybe have it a little cheaper and let them have a choice, knowing what they're eating if they don't want the horse.
Okay, you know what? I got to get rid of the call because I don't know what the problem is. I can't hear the caller. And unless you guys can jack the level on these phone calls, let's go to Gary. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, once again, thank you for taking my call. I am a butcher in New York City, and it's to me it's pretty direct that people will not consume an animal that you can have an emotional relationship with in that particular sense, that you can have a bond with as the animal per se for what it is.
Have you ever heard of, you've heard of bacon, right? You've heard of bacon. You've heard of bacon?
Yes, but not too many people hanging out with
pets. Really? I beg to differ. The pot-bellied pig has become quite a popular pet.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Few and far between. Let me say this.
No, not really.
Okay. I know some people.
You made the statement that you cannot consume an animal that you have a personal relationship with, which I think that's bizarre. Who has a personal relationship?
Well, don't take that to an extreme when they say personal relationship.
You're saying that, in other words, a guy's gonna get to know the horse he's going to eat?
No, the man is saying we generally don't eat animals that we keep as pets. Isn't that what you're saying, sir?
Exactly. Thank you.
All right.
I didn't want to beat that to death. The other thing is,
want to beat a dead horse. You didn't want to beat a dead horse.
Yeah, okay. Listen, My point is your idea may fly in a limited capacity on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. The idea would not be accepted in any way, shape, or form. You have a limited amount of people in a certain culture in New York City that have small bodegas, what we call, where they have livestock that they do sell for slaughter, lambs, chickens. But we're not dealing with horses over here. And
you sell lamb. You do sell
yes,
lamb.
We do.
Now,
yes, we do.
That's an animal that you're going to have a friendship with, or whatever you wanted to call it.
I don't see that bonding process having a large following.
A lamb?
Yes, I don't know many.
Have you ever heard of Mary? You've never heard Mary had a little lamb?
That's a fairy. That's a nursery rhyme.
We didn't talk about the whole alphabet here. We're talking about Mary.
That was Mary,
Tom,
yeah.
Dick and Harry. Okay.
Well, you guys can make a joke. You guys can make a joke, but the whole premise of the gentleman's comments, it's premised on whether or not I have a friendship with what I'm about to kill and eat.
No, it's not. It's about animals that could be pets.
That's what I meant. And you're telling me lambs are not pets.
I don't know, other than Mary had a little lamb, which is probably that goes back hundreds of years when maybe kids did have pets as some of the farm animals were their pets. Today we live in a urban society where we don't have those kind of pets.
And once a year, the president pardons two turkeys, okay, if you want to go that route.
There's a joke there, too, but what I'm trying to say is... Yeah.
My point
is,
I'm in the business 35 years as a butcher, and I know what the public will be receptive to and what they won't. And there is a limited. They do carry ground buffalo meat, but that's pushing it. They're just and our standards are much too rigorous over here. Would never cut it.
Well, what do you mean? The first of all, the United States Congress is authorized. It's legal. And secondly, if you had the neighborhood lady come in, and I'm sure there's a million of them that come and see you. And she said to you, Gary, give me 2 pounds of horse.
Not going to happen.
And she's not talking about heroin.
Not going to happen. The conversation would never exist.
Oh, God.
Well, what are you going to say to her? My question is, what would you say to her if she said, Gary,
we don't carry the product.
And she says, that's the last time I'm walking into this place.
Oh, come on.
I would say next and have a nice day. And wherever she shopped, she would be greeted with the same situation. It's not going to fly in New York City.
In the middle of a recession, if you can blow customers off that easy, hey, you know, my hat's off to you. But
there are other ways to make the dollar, my friend.
That's right. Yeah. And Gary, thank you very much, sir, for your expertise.
Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you.
John.
All right. All right. Yes, sir. 877-876. Phil, we're going to get back to more of your phone calls here. While you're making jokes, though, Ted, I think you're missing the larger point here.
No, I'm not missing the larger point. What do you mean making jokes? When he said, if I want 2 pounds of horse, and I'm not talking about heroin, I was thinking of the French Connection movie, which, of course, I saw. And, of course, it's a marvelous film with Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider, who passed on recently. Fantastic movie, and I visited some of the...
All right, fine, but we're talking about horse?
Yeah, but the horse meat question, here's a guy, you know, with all due respect to the gentleman, Gary... I hear a little jealousy. I hear a man saying, I didn't think of that. Nah, it'll never fly. You know how many times Ted Bell has heard that?
Look.
No, seriously, do you know how many times Ted Bell has heard, don't do that, it'll never work?
Well, I mean, if you've heard...
No, I'm saying, yes, me, but what I'm really saying, do you know how many times Ted Bell has heard that? Let's forget about me for a minute, and let's talk about me as the... Let's talk about me as the Ted Bell most people know, and that is the provider of a great, just Ted Bell. Let's just talk about Ted Bell in the third person. How many times has Ted Bell heard, you better not do that, it's not done, nobody will go for it? How many times do you think Ted Bell's heard that?
Ted, I don't know how many times you've heard or...
I didn't say me.
You're talking about you, though, aren't you?
Would you please go with me? I'm saying, how many times has...
How many times has Ted Bell heard it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Many, many times Ted Bell's heard that. And Ted Bell laughs in the face of that. When someone says to Ted Bell, you can't thus and so, Ted Bell goes, ha, ha, ha. That's what he does. If someone says to Ted Bell, like Ted Bell's wife, Marcy, who said to him, if I see you come home and I smell that perfume on you again, I'm taking Joshua, and I'm going to our place in the desert, and Tent Bell said, ha, 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 no, you're not. That's what he said.
Okay, Ted, I am talking to Ted Bell, aren't I?
No, but Phil, I'm trying to make a point.
No, you're making a ridiculous point. I got it a third person. I understand that you are a Bull Brummel. I understand you're a trendsetter. I understand that you're out in front. I get it. Congratulations. The question is, and the question remains, are people going to go for it? Are people going to eat horse meat? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll get a little bit more into this article, guys, from Time Magazine. Horse meat may become available in the U.S. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We've got live streaming video of our show right now, as a matter of fact, so you can join us over there at philhenryshow.com. We have Ted Bell on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Just want to take a brief moment here to, familiarize you with our website, which is where you go and get our live streaming video. You can get podcasts of our show every day as a download the next day. You can download entire shows going all the way back to 1999 and some shows from before then. We have a news feed. We have our souvenir shop, which you can go into, and I would suggest you go into for any Phil fan in the house if you are one yourself, then go in and buy yourself something. We have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. So let me talk with Ted about those in just a second here, as well as the sale of horse meat that may be going on at his restaurant.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted, what about those new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies?
These are Hanes hoodies. They come in the large, extra large, and double extra large. It has the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo on the front. And it has, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Right there, it has that slogan right on the back, too. So the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is available there at the Phil Henry Show website. We want everybody to get their Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie and show people that you're not going to stand for, the maligning of our business, because we have decided that we're going to take the United States Congress up on their offer in a very difficult time, and we are going to offer people the option of purchasing this kind of horse steak or horse, a horse sandwich or whatever you want to call it, and this is an option. And again, we save on the overhead goes down. The amount that we're charged at the wholesaler goes down. And I want my audience to know that we're not paying as much. And
yeah, but that one lady said made a very good point. Why should they care?
Why should who care?
Why should the customer care if you're not passing the savings on to them?
I think the customer is going to appreciate the fact that they are eating in a man's restaurant who has an eye at the bottom line, who's got an eye on quality and on value. All right? So, no, I'm not passing the savings on to them, because if I did, then they'd think that they were eating, some kind of a substandard meat. And that's not the case. Not at Ted's. No way. Not at my place. Maybe I don't want to mention any names, but I think you know the places I'm talking about. No way. Maybe they pull that. I don't. Not at Ted's. No way.
All right. I don't really know.
I've said I don't serve. I'm not serving snake meat. I'm not serving puppy dog. Do you want me to get into detail here?
No, okay. I understand. I just I don't think anybody's going there, not to that extreme. 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me get to some phone callers here that we've had on the line here. Now, Bob, you called back. You got a better line. So, Bob, go ahead and make your point very quickly for us. Go ahead.
All right. Again, Ted, if you're serving...
Well, is this the gentleman from Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, this is him.
It is. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
What I'd like to say is, up here in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure in California as well, you can go to a restaurant and you can find various restaurants, venison on your menu, rabbit on your menu, buffalo. And,
absolutely.
And they let you know you're eating venison. They let you know, but you can still get a good quality T-bone or New York strip or what have you, filet,
there's nothing wrong with serving any. I don't care if you're serving a dog. I mean, people want to eat it, they'll eat it. If they don't want to eat it, they won't eat it. It's their choice. But as far as you charging for something that that you're not paying for, is it's ridiculous. You're still going to make your money if your restaurant is a good restaurant.
Yeah, well, we have a great restaurant, but I can't right now, not in this climate, not with the tenor of the times being what they are, I can't say, here is horse, because I'm going to have all of these people. Well, here, I'll tell you why. I'm going to have all of these people, like that one lady that called up, oh, we own horses, and we go riding on Sundays. All of these people that love to beat the hell out of their horses, but they think they're animal lovers, you see? So
absolutely.
I can't deal with that, you know. I would rather just go out and have people eat horse and not tell them they're eating it.
Well, how long have you been in business, sir?
Well, my father started the restaurant in 1976. I took it over in 1983. That's when, we really got into business.
So you're very well established, so you shouldn't have to worry about
absolutely.
Coming in and not. You should not lose any customers.
We're in Beverly Hills. We got a lot of liberals, and a lot of these people will say,
I understand what you're saying.
Right. We have a lot of the elderly entertainment people come in. They're very old, and if I tell them I got a horse on the menu, they're not very open-minded, and they're Jewish, and I don't know if there's a religious prohibition.
Against what? Against horse?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's kosher or not.
Is it kosher? Yeah, I don't know if horse is kosher. So
you're going to serve, suppose somebody eats a kosher meal and you're going to serve them horse?
Well, what do I look like a rabbi? What I'm trying to do is...
You're not going to serve them a kosher meal.
Why don't you serve them?
Is there something wrong with your throat, sir? You sound like... Are you okay?
Yeah,
I mean that because you.
This is a family.
Oh, okay. But I am.
Look, Bob, I'm going to let you go. Very good points, Bob. I want to discuss these with Ted. 877-876-PHIL.
You're not going to discuss anything. You're going to move on to another call, aren't you?
No, I'm going to discuss with you when we have some time this idea of serving a non-kosher meat to people that are maybe keeping kosher. I don't know. Here's David on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I drive a truck for a living, but I've gone from state to state. And matter of fact, coming out of Louisiana, they serve alligator on their menu and call it alligator. But what you're trying to say is you're not going to advertise that you serve horse meat because you're afraid that your customer base is not intellectually inclined to understand that it's horse meat. I don't want you serving me up a pile of crap and calling it a steak.
It's not crap. It's horse. That's the only difference.
I'm aware.
What if it tastes good? What if it tastes good? So are you going to say still?
Are you going to serve crap?
No, I'm going to. I'm serving your horse.
Shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Hello, I'm Mr. A. A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course, that is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're just having some fun, Ted.
He's always on a steady.
Because we are talking here on the program. Hold on for a second. We're talking about, we're talking about the fact that horse is now legal.
Can I jump in here, Phil?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to do it while you're playing this song here.
That's great. It's the Mr. Ed theme.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Well, listen to this.
I am Mr. Ed.
Well, okay, there's two things that I wanted to say.
Kill the music, bud. I'm sorry, Ted. Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to say. Number one, I'm buying time on your radio show to advertise my product, and I think that it bespeaks a terrible, terrible choice on your part to play that music, which is a mockery of a very serious product. You know, if I say we're selling horse, and I'm not saying that we're selling horse, I'm trying to avoid causing a problem. And
I thought it was funny.
Well, no, it isn't funny. It's not funny when I'm saying that we are going to take advantage. I'm sorry. It's not funny when I say we're going to take advantage of a congressional ban that's been lifted, and you play a song like that. I got to tell you, I'm very angry.
I apologize.
Well, I'm angry for a couple of reasons. I'm angry because you've just harmed, you just damaged my business. And I'm angry because you think it's funny. And not only that, I remember that television show, the Mr. Ed show. I think a lot of us do. I remember it fondly. I remember the theme music to that television show. I don't know what that song was that you played. It sounded terrible. It doesn't sound like the original. And the man at the end that was the voice of Mr. Ed was horrible. This is the way he sounded. I don't know. He sounded like that gentleman from Pennsylvania. So what I'm saying is this. I think it takes a lot of moxie and chutzpah to mock my business when I'm paying you, you know, an amount. I'm paying you a lot of money. Okay? I'm paying you a lot of money to advertise on your program.
Well, I apologize. I thought it was a funny thing.
And I haven't heard the commercial that we spend a lot of money to advertise, to use to, in advertising. I haven't heard my commercial. I still haven't heard my commercial. I still haven't heard my commercial. Okay, I'm going to hang this phone up.
I'm sorry, Ted. We had two audio sources. Here is the commercial.
I hope you go to hell. I do. I hope when you die, you go to hell.
Steakhouse, come on.
God.
Now.
What do you want me to say?
What do I want you to say? Okay, never mind.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted, you know, I can't do the show without you. I'm apologizing. I'm very, very apologetic. To do that, I did not mean to mock your business. All right?
Well, you did, and you damaged my business and by playing the Mr. Ed theme. But in other words, what you're saying is what people are going to be eating in my restaurant, children are going to be eating a good product, a healthy product, but you want children that are listening to your program tonight to think that they're going to eat Mr. Ed. That's what you want.
No, I don't, and I dare say I don't expect children to be listening to this show.
But that's the message. The message is, isn't it funny? Let's take a family situation, a family. Why don't you just say that I want you to eat my favorite Martian? Why don't you have the Martian theme and say that people can eat a Martian? They can come into my restaurant and eat Ray Walston. Or whoever the gentleman was. Is that what you want? And I know you're laughing.
It's very difficult not to be amused slightly at how far out you're taking this. I apologize.
I pay advertising on your program. Do I not pay for advertising on your program? Turn it down. Do I not?
Yes, sir, you do.
Then why do you mock me with a Mr. Ed theme? Why do you mock me with a Mr. Ed theme?
I wasn't intending to mock you. I was mocking the topic.
And the topic is something that I sell in my restaurant that I'm trying to promote on your show.
That is true.
And you're making a joke out of it.
That, I suppose, is true. That was a bad choice.
You know something, of all the idiots that I could have been advertising on, you know, you guys in talk radio, and I don't mean any offense, Phil, but of all of the imbeciles, every talk show that I listen to, you guys are all a bunch of idiots as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there's 5 ounces worth of brains between you, Hannity, any of them. I think you're all idiots. And the fact that the reason why I chose your show is because they told me that you were a little bit more personable and you were a little bit better broadcaster and all of this stuff. Well, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I can see, you're no brighter than the dumbest guy I've ever heard. But the dumbest guy I've ever heard on the radio is Rick Dees. I don't think you even have his brains. You listening to me?
Yes, sir, I am.
I don't think you're even as smart as that the guy that they had on that they fired. What's the guy's name? Howard Stern? I don't even think you're as smart as him.
They didn't fire Howard Stern.
Well, whatever they did with him, they got him off my radio. I don't even think you're as smart as him. I think all you guys... So I come on your show, I want to advertise on your show, and what do I get for my trouble? What do I get for my money? You're going to mock my product?
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
The fact that you're selling horse meat is controversial. Would you agree with that?
No, I will not agree with that. What I'm selling is a good product. Since when is a good product controversial?
All right, but let's just say this. It is a news topic, at least, and there may be some difference of opinion. And we have seen that there's some difference of opinion. You've had professionals call. You've had consumers call. You had a truck driver call. People that will eat steak, people that probably eat a lot of steak, saying that they want to know what they're eating, and you don't want to tell people what it is.
I've been trying to tell you for the last hour and 15 minutes that I'm not going to mention the word horse. That I will mention the word horse insofar as we're talking about the law. But when it comes to what I sell in my restaurant, I'm not going to say to people, and by the way, do you want a horse steak? Because I might as well say to them, by the way, would you like a dog steak? Do you want puppy stew? And I told you that when you said that to me, you might as well be telling the audience out there, by the way, we'll be back with Jerry Sandusky in just a moment.
No.
What are you laughing at?
I think that's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous when you take into consideration what people think of this topic.
That's ridiculous. Nobody's going to call you Jerry Sandusky, you know.
Well, you know, I got people out there saying I'm selling horse meat, and I'm lying to them, and you playing that Mr. Ed theme. I don't want to hear that again. You understand me?
I won't play it again.
You understand me, though?
Yeah, I will not play it again. I apologize, but let's keep talking about this, okay?
We can keep talking about it, but I'm not going to say what you want me to say, which is, oh, hey, Ted, tell us about the horse steak. I'm not going there.
Well, we can talk about the product.
We can talk about the product in a general way, but I do not want to say I'm selling horse, because you know what that sounds like. I just told you what it sounds like. It sounds like I want to go and get a shower after the workout, and oh, yeah, it's only 11:30 at night, and go ahead and slide along the floor there in your underwear. Like I'm saying that to you when you're six.
How did you... Can I ask a question?
No, look, Phil.
How did you get to child molesting from selling horse steak?
Because that's what you guys do. That's what you guys do. You take a man's business, and you will defame a man... If it gets you a couple of ratings points.
I'm not doing anything of the sort, and I categorically reject that. I haven't done anything of the sort.
Phil, you're talking about me selling horse steak like I decided, oh, do you want to go work out? I know it's your 10th birthday, but let's go work out. And by the way, take your underwear off and slide along the slimy floor of that shower. And
you know what? Your mind, you got a one-track mind, my friend. And
what is that supposed to mean?
It means it's very interesting how you take this topic of horse meat and turn it into child molestation. I haven't said anything of the sort about your business. I would never say anything like that. We have a disagreement, of course. I'm not trying to defame or malign you. You've come on my program. You, Ted, we're talking about the law. So we're going to talk about the law. 877-876-PHIL. We've got people hanging on. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue talking. The article that I'm referring to is in Time Magazine from today in the U.S. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have got a delicious prime rib on Sunday. And yes, we have the Ted special, the 8-ounce or 12-ounce. I guarantee it's the best steak you're ever going to have in your life. We want to put our meat in your mouth. And by the way, that slogan there, Phil, that's on the back of the hoodies.
That's right. Get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie at the Phil Hendry shop at philhendryshow.com. It's a great Christmas gift, Ted.
I would think it's a great Christmas gift for people that are fans of Ted's of Beverly Hills, people that are fans of the Phil Hendry Show. It's in our Ted's of Beverly Hills official colors, our blue, black, and white. It is a black hoodie, and you got it in extra large, Phil. What are the sizes?
We got large, extra large, and double extra large. And we also, of course, on the back, as you say, in white, is the Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." And
so you can wear that proudly wherever you go, and just walk in front of somebody with that on the back of your hoodie, and I'm sure they're going to just be very impressed. Now then, well, you told me that's where you thought it ought to go.
I think your advertising slogan would be best on the back. Anyway, Ted is with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the possibility that horse meat, the ban on the sale of horse meat for consumption in the United States may be lifted. And it's very interesting, Ted. Because we have a lot of different issues at stake here. We have, for some people, it may be a nutrition or a health issue.
Well, it's not a nutrition or a health issue, and I wish you wouldn't say that. It's healthy, it's lean. These are horses that ran in some of the most prestigious stakes races in the country. And, you know, so how can that not be a healthy cut of meat if you've got an animal that was one of the top thoroughbreds.
You know what? There's something ghoulish about that.
What are you talking about?
I'm a horse racing fan and a fan of great horses, and you're selling these animals. I thought you said they didn't win.
Well, they weren't winners, but they were in the Derby. They were in the Cap, the Sanity, the Big Cap, Sanity, the Handicap, and so forth. Not all of them, but some of them.
877-876-PHIL. Is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's get to some phone calls we have hanging on here. Greg, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Phil.
Yes, sir.
A little angry about the kosher thing. I think, you know, the horse meat's one thing, but to not tell people that it's kosher or not kosher, you don't know what you're doing to those people's psyche when you do that.
Well,
you know how to make a kosher decision.
You got to
keep.
What do you want from me? Are you trying to tell me that horse meat is... It's not kosher? It's got to be kosher.
No, because beef is not kosher if you cut it off the wrong end. You got to cut the meat on the right end. And you got to make sure you don't get any entrails or anything on the meat. And then a rabbi comes and says, you're doing it, and then it's okay. And you need to be doing that.
I just want to be clear. You want me to drag a rabbi in there at all hours of the night to make sure that I'm cutting
up. Well, you're not slaughtering the horse yourself, are you?
No, but this guy's telling me that I can't serve horse unless I got a rabbi in the kitchen.
No, I'm telling you, you can't. You got to cut very carefully around the ass end, and that's the truth. Look it up on the internet, and you can't get those entrails on it, and it should be certified by a rabbi. You can do it the day before. You don't have to do it right there as you're slapping it on this grill.
Well, with all due respect, sir, I'm not going to sit there playing with a horse's ass. What is that about?
You're talking about the proper way of slaughtering it, right, Greg?
Correct. And if he's going to have them slaughtered, he has to have them certified by a rabbi.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
What if I say that I did?
If you said you did, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who goes to hell, the guy eating it or you.
Wait a second. Oh, I see. So I'm going to go to hell, huh? The guy eating it? If the guy eating it's not going to rot in hell. I am. And
well, why
Jewish,
does he have to eat kosher meat in the first place?
I don't know. But if I say to the guy, oh, yeah, sure, it's kosher, and he eats it, he's not going to go to hell. I will. Yeah. But I'm not Jewish, so I won't go to hell either.
Look, well, I don't know. It sounds to me, Ted, like you're mocking Judaism now. And
Will you give it a rest?
That's exactly what it sounds like you're doing. You're mocking somebody's religion. You're going to go ahead and sell something to a guy claiming that it's kosher. It may sound silly to you, but people that keep kosher, they're serious about it. If you sell a guy a product that's not kosher and you claim it is, hey, good luck, man.
And Russian old believers, too.
They're going to serve me up for dinner?
Yeah, they may. I hope you're kosher.
You know, you're real funny, and again, I want to remind you, I'm on your show advertising on your show.
Well, you know what? You're not going to be advertising for much longer if you're telling Jewish folks, come on into my restaurant. Yeah, horse is kosher, and I'm going to serve it, and it's not.
Because you didn't prepare it right.
What are you Jewish, sir?
No, I got a lot in the office, and they tell me what they have to eat, and I make sure that I ask the butcher.
You ask the butcher?
Yeah, there's a butcher. There's a prime rib, Mr. Prime Rib.
Mr. Prime Rib. Are you sure this isn't a gag? Is this guy...
No, he's a caller.
No, have you guys... I'm Old Seward and 76.
You're joking,
no,
aren't you?
No, look it up. Mr. Prime Rib.
Mr. Prime Rib, huh? And what, is Mr. Prime Rib kosher? Or is he a rabbi?
He makes it kosher. And then...
No, what I'm saying is Mr. Prime Rib a rabbi?
What do you mean is Mr. Prime Rib a rabbi?
I got a restaurant in Beverly Hills, California, my man.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more Jew intensive than that. And
okay, I've had about enough of that, all right? I don't want to hear that. Either you're keeping a kosher food, you know, either you're serving a kosher meal.
This guy's talking about Mr. Prime Rib's a rabbi, and you're saying I'm making jokes?
He didn't say Mr. Prime Rib's a rabbi.
What?
I said there's a Mr. Prime Rib store, and they know how to prepare it by doing it the correct way so that it's kosher.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet they know how to prepare it.
Well, they make sure they cut away and there's no entrails, et cetera. And the same with the old...
Where is this place? Where is this? Where's this Mr. Prime Rib, anyway? Where's it located?
In Anchorage.
Are you talking about in Alaska?
Yeah, just up the coast.
They got... Are you trying to tell me they got three Jewish people in Alaska?
No, they don't. You know something, Ted? Thank you very much. It's Greg, right? Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on. I think that, Ted, you know, you're right, too. You have Jewish customers. You ought to know better. So quit making the jokes, okay?
I'm making a couple of laughs, but I'm telling you right now, you know, you don't have to worry about the horse not being kosher at my place. This guy's in Anchorage, Alaska. He's trying to tell me, Mr. Prime Rib. Yeah, huh? I bet you that's not all he's called.
Were you making a joke about him being a rabbi?
No, this guy led me to believe that they had a rabbi in Alaska named Mr. Prime Rib.
No, he did not. He said it's a restaurant. Let's take a break. 877-876-PHIL. See, that's the other thing. If you're going to serve horse... and you are serving horse in a restaurant, obviously, and you have Jewish customers, and they are keeping kosher, you have to be able to assure them that that is a kosher meal. Although I don't really know if someone is on a strict kosher diet, if they're going to a steakhouse, or maybe. 877-876-PHIL is horse, and Ted Bell is going to be selling horse meat in his restaurant. Do you want to know that's what you're eating? If it's a good steak, does it matter to you whether it came from a steer or a horse? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
You got to come to Ted's. You must come to Ted's and have a steak. Have one of our Ted's specials.
Here at Ted's.
Let's not talk about where it's from. Let's talk about where it's going into your stomach. And have a drink in our prime rib room, Phil. We got a great weekend of football coming up. I love this time of year.
I do, too. It's playoff time. This is right around the corner.
Playoff time is around the corner. I love this time of year with the bowl games. And SC is playing, I think SC is playing Oregon. So if you're in town, if you're in Southern California, wherever you are, you got to pay a visit to California. Come on to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
And we do have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies available in our shop.
I want to make a point. You were talking during the break, Phil.
Go ahead.
You were talking about the religious sects and the religious cults in the early part of the 19th century here in America. You were referring to the Great Awakening.
That's correct, yeah.
All right. I don't know what you're talking about. I think a lot of what you talk about is very obtuse and very esoteric, and it goes over the heads of a lot of people. And I don't know whether you're trying to make a point about the kosher horse or whatever, but what I'd like you to do is when you're talking about stuff, even off the air, I want it to be something that I understand. And
I was talking about the Great Awakening as a period in American history. During the period of the Jackson and even before the Jackson presidency, where there was a number of religious sects and religious groups, there's quite a few in America, and we had more cults at that time, in fact, than we probably have now.
No, I understand what that was about, but were you talking about the Great Awakening, saying that somebody ought to have a Great Awakening, you know, like I'm because of what I'm eating, you know, because of what I'm eating or what I'm serving, like we need a Great Awakening about that? Or wake up or something like that?
What do you mean, wake up?
Wake up, Ted selling horse? Is that what you're trying to...
No, I'm not trying to say anything like that. I was discussing with the guys something completely unrelated.
Well, you have had a number of opinions about what we're selling, and that's why I've said I don't want to even mention the word. And
Well, you said that much of the product you're selling, this particular meat... Some of it comes from thoroughbreds that ran in some of the biggest races in the country. And I don't know that that is actually, I don't think that that's a very positive endorsement, because you're saying, on the one hand, it's a delicious meat and it's lean and it's healthy. And on the other hand, you are invoking, in my mind, images of a sport that I happen to like very much, thoroughbred racing. Okay?
Yeah. So I don't understand.
I just don't like the idea that those beautiful creatures that run around the track, I'm going to have on a plate in front of me.
See, right there. I told you not to do that, and you do it.
Well, you brought up the thoroughbred racing aspect.
I did, yes.
Okay. When I think of thoroughbred horse racing, I think of horses that I've liked. I think of...
What are you talking about?
I'm thinking of Foolish Pleasure.
I'm not asking you to come into my restaurant and have and eat Foolish Pleasure for dinner. What kind of a jackass place? Can you imagine that? Yeah, come on in, folks, and get yourself some Foolish Pleasure stew. What is that? You'd have to be some real jackass. In fact, one of the things that I had to deal with, and I dealt with this through my attorney, Bill Larson, and I also dealt with it with Frank Gray, who also represents me, we went to court, and I sued one of the other restaurateurs here on the street. I'm not going to mention his name. Because he was letting it out there that Ted Bell is going to be putting jackass on his menu. So, in other words, it wasn't even the aforementioned animal that we're talking about. He said that we were selling jackass, as in literally a jackass.
Like a donkey.
But yeah. Burro. Yeah, go to Ted Bell's. He's serving burro steak. Now, I don't know whether that's any good or not. I don't even want to guess.
Well, what if it was good?
Well, don't start backing me into a corner, okay?
So in other words, but if it tastes good, you'd serve burro.
I wouldn't go on your show and say I'm serving burro. I would do something in terms of the euphemism in the advertising.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to Amy. Amy, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Yes, hi.
This has been an amazing... hour. I am a first time listener and caller. Phil, I so commend you, Phil, for how you have handled this entire program. Ted, I'm amazed at how defensive Ted is, and how everything that whatever people say, he twists it and is very defensive when we're trying to learn about this, and if he doesn't like it...
Well, I apologize. Let me apologize. And I'm willing to hear anything you've got to say. And the young lady's name is what, Bill?
This is Amy.
Amy, I'm sorry I'm sorry if I've come across. But you understand, I've got competitors of mine that are going door to door on my street saying Ted Bell is serving jackass steak.
Well, okay? You know, maybe they mean, and I mean this with no disrespect, but they might be saying, because of your attitude, you sound like a burro. You got angry and when they tried to make a light joke of playing that Mr. Ed
I thought that was uncalled for.
Okay, and then 2 minutes later, you were making a Jewish joke because you thought it was a little lighthearted. Now, you know, it's tit for tat there. You know, if you don't want to make jokes about that, then just talk about your business, and you could say, well, I'd rather not listen to that. The anger that is, I just feel like I kept listening to this, and I keep thinking, oh, my goodness, when he hears this tomorrow, he's really,
I've been in business for a long time. What Jewish jokes did I make, by the way? I have a lot of Jewish customers. I'd be very interested to know, because I don't think I made any per se jokes. I did say something along the lines, well, okay. I said,
okay,
you know.
Comment? What? I mean, I'm not, I have no intentions of getting into an argument or debate with you. I'm just simply saying.
I don't mean any disrespect, ma'am, but it sounds like you're blowing your nose with the phone.
Okay.
And this is what you did. You went like, That's what it sounded like.
All right, Ted, let me handle that, okay?
I apologize.
That's okay.
If you can stay close to the phone for us, Amy, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it just sounded like she was rubbing her nose with it.
Phil, yes. I appreciate you helping out here. I just wanted to simply say that it's not fair that you're not being honest of what you're selling in your store, and people are trying to tell you that. And then bottom line, if you listen to this tomorrow and hear how twisted your responses were, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. You're going to be really embarrassed.
Wait a second. What twisted? Ma'am, you're talking to me like I'm some kind of a drooling mongoloid. All I said...
That's not necessary.
Exactly.
Well, wait a minute.
You know what you sound like? You sound like an angry alcoholic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I happen to be the owner of one of the biggest steakhouses on the West Coast, and you say I sound like an alcoholic.
Well, you ripped into me there in the first part of the hour.
But you know what, Ted? There's the arrogance there. Like, look at me. I have this big business. And whenever somebody says something that you don't understand or you don't want to hear, then you start giving
digs and comments. Do you know what you're doing? Well, but do you know what you're taking on here? Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Ted Bell, okay?
Exactly.
Bill Keller.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And you're laughing at me, and you're laughing at me, and you think you're going to get away with that? How?
Look at Ted.
Hold on, Phil.
You know what? I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing.
I am
at
laughing
me.
At the comments that you are making.
You are laughing at Ted Bell. And Ted Bell.
You know what?
And I can tell you this:
when you're talking,
Amy can handle herself.
All right.
With
you know
Ted
what?
Bell.
Hey, okay, guess what?
Hey, Phil.
You're never, ever coming into my restaurant. Never.
Sweetie, I have no intention of coming to your restaurant.
That's a good thing. You'll never get in. I'll never let you in. I'll never let you in. And if I know you're in the restaurant, I'll have you bodily removed.
How did we get to this point? This is ridiculous, okay?
So all the Amy's you're going to remove from your restaurant. Hey, Phil,
I'll know it's you from the attitude. But I will tell you this, Amy.
Hey, Phil,
I don't serve jackass steak. I serve the other kind.
Horse.
And I told you not to say that.
Horse. Why? That's what you're telling. If you're going to
Okay, thank you very much. Are you going to hang up on her? Are you going to hang up on her? Or do I have to drive to her house and rip her phone out of the wall?
Wow. Hey, Phil.
Don't give me that wow. You were the one that called me a jackass. You're the one that started this.
Okay, look at Amy. Thank you.
Where's she calling from?
I'm not telling you.
I demand to know where you're calling from.
Don't tell him where you're calling. Amy, thank you very much. Good call. 877-876-PHIL. Good night.
So you refused to tell me where she was calling from. Excuse me.
Have you been drinking?
You know, Phil, I'm not going to make that the issue here, okay?
Have you been drinking?
I've had a couple of drinks, yeah. Am I not allowed? I work my ass off.
When you come on my show and you're going to be answering questions...
I had a couple of pops, okay? It's been a very tough week. God! I pulled down a bottle of Knob Creek, and you want to know something? I poured myself more than one. That's right. I had a couple. And I'll tell you something else. 12-year-old stuff. You want to hear more?
No, I don't want to hear more. If you want to have a couple of pops and you got off work, that's fine. Don't belch into the phone to let the whole world know it, if you don't mind.
I apologize. I didn't know that was coming out.
And the lady's right. I don't think you're an alcoholic, but you sound like you're raging drunk in that very first segment in the hour.
Well, you might as well tell people I'm an alcoholic. You just...
All right, let's take a break here before I... 877-876-PHIL.
Let me hang up.
Don't hang up on him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
How'd you like that?
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, and this weekend we are going to roll out our Ted special 12 and 8 ounce steaks. Absolutely delicious with the Ted barbecue sauce. And get a Ted with that. That, of course, is our rum and coke. And we got some football this weekend, Phil, and we have the college games on Saturday. And I have, to answer your question, the Dunphy brothers who were in that weekend. You remember the Stanford game?
Well, I know that you lost some money to them.
I did. They're coming in this weekend, and they have promised me a rematch, if you will. They're taking Oregon. And I lost a pile of money to them on the UCLA game. And
you didn't take UCLA, did you?
Well, yes, I did, because I graduated from there. Wow. Of course I did.
I didn't know. I apologize.
Well, no, I told you I graduated from UCLA.
You did, and I forgot, and it would be natural, but did you get points?
No, I don't do that. Look, I bet on my alma mater. It was a disgrace. It was humiliating. That's two times now the Dunphys have been in on a Saturday night and have taken every bit of actual folding and spending money I've got. I find that amazing because I never go out of the house with less, say, than $1,000 in cash. I always keep cash on me, and I keep a good amount of cash on me. And every single time I've bet those two guys... That's been three times this year. They have cleaned me out of everything I've had on me. Because that's what I bet. I
generally bet what you're carrying.
Yeah. Just about a $1,000 bet.
Well.
Well, what?
Well, I mean, unless you got that UCLA-SC game and you didn't get any points.
What are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me?
I'm trying to tell you that SC was a heavy favorite in the game.
I don't care. It's the USC-UCLA game. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes, I know what that is. It's a big crosstown game, and I get it. But SC's a heavily favored team. They're on a roll.
That game, you throw all the stats out. Boy, I thought you knew something about football. That's too bad. I really thought you knew something about football. Apparently you don't.
No, I know about football. You're telling me you throw the stats out in a game like that? Yes, you're right, you do. But I did not know. All right.
You're full of a lot of opinions tonight, Phil, and unfortunately, all of them are pissing me off.
Sorry. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to another caller here. We have Ian. Ian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
How's it going, Phil? Thanks for having me on.
Good, thank you. Good.
I'm actually just curious, Ted, as far as
you said that you were coming onto the program to kind of promote the fact that, you know, Congress has allowed, you know, is potentially going to allow horse meat to be sold, and, you know, you seem to be selling that product. You don't really seem to be behind it. I don't know why you're so defensive about what people think about the product and why you're not going to share with your consumers what you're selling. It seems that you should be standing behind the product and voicing strongly that you believe in the product. Otherwise, you're contributing to the negative.
I do. 100%.
It sounds like you're contributing to the negative pool with all this fear, and like you don't want to call it force. You're contributing to the negative kind of energy that it seems to have right now.
Well, I'll tell you. Your name's Ian? Ian.
Yes.
I believe in business. I believe in consumer confidence. I don't know that I relate necessarily to the term negative energy. I don't really know what you mean by that. But let's just say that I do support my product at 150%. We are excited this weekend. We're going to have on our menu our Ted special, which is a 12-ounce or 8-ounce. So I don't know what you mean that I'm not supporting it.
Well, he means by the fact that you don't want to mention the word horse.
Boy,
you guys will do anything you can. You'll do anything you can to stick that word in there, won't you?
The product. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about horse meat, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. In Japan, they serve basashi, which is basically just raw, thinly sliced horse, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with the product.
Can I tell you something? Because I've been in the restaurant business a long time. Anytime you mention Japan and food, Westerners, they don't like it, and I'll tell you why. Even though we do eat sushi, when you say Japan and food, most Westerners are thinking of octopus and a lot of slop that they don't want to go near. So
octopus is called taco. I'm familiar.
Yeah, well, that's fine, and you may like it. But most Americans, when you say Japan and you say, food, most people think of slop, unedible slop.
Well, I don't.
I disagree with that. I think of sushi. I've worked for many sushi bar chains in this country. I'm a bar manager, and I've opened many restaurants with many other businessmen, and I don't understand that concept. You seem very guarded about your opinion of what people think.
Most people, because I'm a restaurateur myself, most people, when they think of Japan and food, they think of really weird seafood that you got to eat raw, and it's just vile. So nothing you can keep down. Nothing a white man can keep down.
And what market pool
are you sourcing this from?
God.
What are you talking about, Phil?
What do you mean nothing a white man could keep down?
I mean a Westerner. Okay.
Well, you know there's all kinds of colors of people.
All kinds of colored people? Wow. Did you hear what he just said?
I said there's all kinds of colored people here.
Colored people.
You know, Ted, we can do this dance all you want, but the point that this gentleman is making is he disagrees with you. He's in the restaurant business. He's a bar manager. He's worked in Japanese restaurants. He's served to Westerners, and he finds many people like that food.
Well, maybe it's a steakhouse thing. I mean, a lot of the people come into steakhouses, they like Western food. They like American steak. And when you say to them, there's a Japanese place, it doesn't register. All they're thinking about is poison. They think they're going to eat something that's going to poison them.
Frankly, market pool from? I would like to know where this information comes
from. I just told you. They're steakhouse people. Now, so I'm going to sell them a steak. You want me to come up to the guy and say, "Hi, welcome to Ted's, where we serve horse." That's what you want me to do? I don't think so.
I think that it's very fair to your customers to tell them what you're serving. And if you want to take a French term for horse, if you want to take a term from another country, if you just don't want to call it that and call it by its other name, then that'd be fine. But
I don't understand something. I don't understand this. First of all, you're telling me what the Japanese think. Now you're bringing in the French. You know, we're in America, right? You check that out?
Absolutely. And America? What is America outside of a melting pot?
A place where you eat steak?
Absolutely. And guess what? You want to serve horse, and that's fine. But you need to tell people that you're serving them horse.
Would you please not? Would you tell your callers not to say that?
No, I'm not going to tell my callers that. No, I'm not.
I'm telling you, and I'm telling this
Phil's
guy,
been pretty gracious,
horse.
And you've been pretty rude during this program, so...
No, I have not. I'm trying to tell the guy, don't say horse, and you come on and you keep saying it.
Well, now you're saying it.
God!
That's the whole point of the conversation.
Phil Hendry.